Welcome to my commentary on Paul's letter to the disciples in the province of Galatia, otherwise known as the Book of Galatians. We're now at Galatians chapter 3, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 5. In chapter 1 and chapter 2, Paul's defending his ministry, defending the gospel that he preached. In chapter 3 and 4, he's getting into the theology of the gospel of Christ. So let's start. Chapter 3, verse 1 begins with, "You foolish Galatians." You can tell that Paul is upset. I've been saying that all the way through. But really, Paul was upset with these Galatians. He calls them foolish. But the Greek word translated here as foolish can easily be translated as stupid. It's not that these people didn't have the capacity to be intelligent, because they did. They were intelligent people. They understood the gospel as Paul taught it, but they were being stupid because they were moving away towards something that wasn't as good as the gospel that Paul taught. For that, Paul called these guys stupid. "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" The word bewitched, I looked up the Greek word for that. It can easily be translated as demonized. Who has demonized you? Like this teaching of the false teachers that you're beginning to accept is demonic. It's straight from the pit of hell. Who has demonized you? The Greek word basically means a spell. Who has put an occult spell on you so that you would believe a lie? Verse 1 continues, "Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified." Before their very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed. The word portrayed in Greek, it's like they sat down and watched a movie. They watched the movie of the Lord Jesus Christ, and especially his crucifixion. It's the crucifixion that is at stake here. As Paul ended the last chapter, "If you guys accept the law and obey the law of Moses, then Christ Jesus died for nothing." These people clearly understood, because somehow Paul was able to portray the Lord Jesus and his crucifixion in such a way, in such a clear way, that they for certain understood. There was no doubt about that. And again, that's what drives Paul crazy. He can't understand how they could be changing their minds after understanding the gospel so clearly. And again, the crucifixion is the crux of the matter. It's the crucifixion versus the law of Moses. What's your choice? Verse 2, it says, "I would like to learn just one thing." Actually, he's got more than one thing he wanted to learn. He comes up with a couple questions here. The first question is this: "Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard?" A couple of things to know here. Paul is equating these Galatians as receiving the Holy Spirit when they first believe. He says, "Did you guys receive the Holy Spirit by observing the law or by hearing what you believed?" I mean, by believing what you heard from me and giving yourself to what you heard, meaning the Lord Jesus. When these people gave themselves to Jesus, they received the Holy Spirit. They did not sort of believe and then some later date receive the Holy Spirit. Believing and receiving was one. Because Paul says in Romans 8:9, "He that does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to God." That is one scary thing, because there are a lot of Christians or people going around claiming to be Christian, and sometimes you wonder, do they really have the Holy Spirit? Their lives just don't seem to match up. Romans 8:9, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to God. Galatians 3:2 is suggesting that when these people first believed, they received the Holy Spirit. And how did they receive the Holy Spirit? By doing things, by observing a Sabbath, by not picking up sticks on the Sabbath, by tithing, by obeying 613 rules? No, just as it was on the day of Pentecost, Jesus came to these people in the form of the Holy Spirit because they gave their lives to Him in a trusting relationship. That is faith. This is a rhetorical question. Paul doesn't answer it, and he doesn't have to, because the answer is obvious to everybody involved. Verse 3, are you so foolish, or are you so stupid? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? The goal was what the Free Methodists and the Wesleyan Methodists call sanctification or perfection. They got saved by relying on Jesus and receiving the Holy Spirit as a result of relying on Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit that's supposed to help us grow and mature in the Lord, as we will see in the last two chapters of Galatians. But instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to work out the goal of perfection, they were reverting back to the law of Moses. Yes, it's okay to get saved by Jesus and receiving the Holy Spirit, but to grow in Jesus and to mature in Jesus, we need to obey the law of Moses. Again, this is a rhetorical question that everybody knows the answer to. It just doesn't work that way. You don't grow by observing, obeying the law of Moses. And the same can be said today. You don't grow in the Lord by simply obeying traditional evangelical rules. The Holy Spirit must be involved. You must rely on the Lord Jesus Christ for maintaining your salvation and growing in your salvation. Again, it's the Holy Spirit versus the law of Moses. You choose. Human effort. The tendency over the centuries, the ever-present tendency with man, even with Christians, is to work out our salvation with our own human effort. And our own human effort, even if it's obeying God's law of the law of Moses, we just can't do it. We fail time after time after time again. Human effort or Holy Spirit again, what's your choice? Verse 4, have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing. Have you suffered so much, guys, for nothing? These people, these Galatians, suffered a lot. When the gospel was preached to them, it wasn't get your sins forgiven and live happily ever after and end up in heaven. It's get your sins forgiven. Well, first of all, it was repent, get your sins forgiven, trust your life with Jesus, because you're going to be persecuted for your faith in Jesus. These people were being persecuted because of their association with Jesus. Some of their family members and friends were being killed. Now, Paul was saying, you guys suffered all that because of your association with Jesus, and now you're thinking of leaving Jesus and going to the law of Moses? Why did you suffer all that for nothing then? Then the phrase is added, even if it was for nothing. Now, the phrase, even if it was for nothing, is not found, at least in the Greek text that I have. The NIV translators put that in. Why? I don't know. Maybe to make the point is that any suffering that is done for Jesus, even if that person backslides, the suffering isn't in vain. The work they did during their suffering isn't in vain, even if at some future point they fall away from the Lord. Verse 5. Another question. Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observed the law or because you believed what you heard? These people weren't just ordinary believers. They were beyond what most of us are today. They didn't just have the Holy Spirit, although that is extremely important, but the Holy Spirit was using them to perform miracles. Miracles were being performed in their midst. Obviously, Jesus was clearly portrayed amongst him, these people, partly due to these miracles. They saw the miracles, and even at that, they wanted to leave Jesus for the law of Moses. Can you believe that? Well, Christians today aren't really that much different than those Christians who lived in the province of Galatia. We should think about that. Again, find a detailed written explanation of the book of Galatians on my website, stevesweetman.com.